Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salamu ala rasulillah. And inshallah today we'll talk about the causes and remedy of anger. And again, we continue with Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin by Imam Ibn Qudama, Ahmad Ibn Qudama. He says it has already been mentioned that the remedy of any defect mainly depends on the elimination of its cause or causes. Self-admiration, joking, argumentation, and betrayal are among the primary causes of anger. Self-admiration or overconfidence, joking, argumentation, and betrayal are among the primary causes of anger. Undoubtedly, these are ill morals which the Sharia condemns, and in order to get rid of them, man should treat each of them with its opposite. He should treat each one with the opposite. As far as the remedy of anger is concerned, the Muslim should fulfill certain matters as follows. He put them in somewhat, in points, but I'll try to provide a scheme, because usually, you know, schemes can be helpful for people to understand and remember, and to apply also. You know, the management of any one of those ill morals, or ill characters, or bad behaviors, or bad inclinations. You could have a bad inclination, but not a bad behavior. So this inclination and behavior, anger could be a behavior, you know, the expression of it is a behavior, and it can be just an inclination in your heart. You're inclined to nervousness, to anger, to being reactionary, etc. So how do we address the inclination and the behavior of anger in this case? The scheme is pretty much in medicine. There is prevention and treatment. And prevention usually is better than treatment, right? Prevention is much better than treatment because you avoid the problem to start with. You do not wait for it and then you start to address it after it happens. You try to avoid it. Then we will have two ways to manage anger. One is preventative and one is treatment of anger after it happens. The preventative way or the prevention of anger is like a two-pronged approach. One is general and one is specific. And the general one usually is more effective. Remember last time I talked about general and the specific? No, this is not the last time. When we're talking about merit and harmony, I talked about, you know, sometimes we get fixated on one particular problem and try to fix this one particular problem, but the whole relationship is limping. So you need to fix the relationship and do not be fixated on this one particular specific issue. Fix the relationship first, and you may find this one particular problem to vanish on its own after you have fixed the relationship in a general sense. You apply the same here also, anger. Anger. Many people, they say that they are nervous, they create nervous and so on. So how do you prevent yourself from anger? The general approach to this, which I believe to be the more effective approach, is to understand the true worth of this life. The true worth of this life. People get angry over issues that pertain to this life. Your reputation pertains to this life, does not pertain to the hereafter. Or, you know, there could be a little bit of overlap, but mostly pertains to this life. It pertains to your ego. It pertains to your self-perception of yourself. Your money. It pertains to this life, not the hereafter. Your body, it is from this life, not from the hereafter. You'll get a much better body in the hereafter, inshallah. So all of this pertains to this life. So that is what we get angry over. That we think that our money was violated, or our property was violated, our honor was violated, our body was violated, and then we get angry. So if you know the worth of life to start with, this whole life, which your body and property and honor and everything is just a very small part of. The whole worth of this life is, it does not equal the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the worth of this life is what is stated in Surah Al-Hadid, in the last part of Surah Al-Hadid. تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُونَ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. اعْلَمُوا, know that this life is about لعب, play, amusement, تَفَاخُرٌ mutual boasting between you, وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, and this pursuit of abundance in أموال, wealth, and children, الأولاد. كَمَثِلِ غَيْثٍ. So this is what your life, this is what you guys do in this life, right? It's لَعِبًا لَهُ, and mutual boasting and seeking abundance and money and children and so on and so forth. So back to the ayah, Allah then tells us what this life is about, and He says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ, the likeness of this life is like a rain, the vegetation therewith pleases the farmers. ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا, and then they dry up, and you see them yellow. They become yellow. They dry up, the vegetation dry up, and become yellow. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا, and then they become straw or hay, or they become destroyed. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, and in the hereafter there is severe torment, there is forgiveness from Allah and pleasure, and this life is not but a deceiving enjoyment. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, a deceiving enjoyment. So it is a deceiving enjoyment, and it is very much like the vegetation, the green vegetation that you see, and then it becomes yellow, and then it dies. And that is exactly who you are. And, you know, you look at the stages, you know, if we have a child in this room, which we don't, unfortunately, almost time, but if we don't have a child in this room, but if you have a child in this room, you'll find that he is better hydrated than the rest of us. You know, he has more water. Just like the plant, you know. When you're born, the percentage of your body fluid is 75%. And when you die, it's about 50%. So you do dry up. Like the plant dries up, you also dry up. And then, you know, close to your death in the very old age, you become very dry. So that is what this life is about. So is it really worth your anger in this case? If that's what it is about, and it just goes through those stages quite quickly, they may be long for you because you're limited. You know, you live only 60 or 70 years. You're so limited. But this life existed thousands of years ago. This universe could have existed millions of years ago. Allah knows. You know, we can't speculate. Allah knows. But because you're so limited, it may look to you, or you may think that, you know, it's very long. No, it is not. It is very short. And whatever it is that, you know, how many years that you've lived now, you're 30, you're 35, you're 40, they pass by so quickly, and the rest will pass by so quickly as well. So the issue here is that it is not worth your anger, because the anger is usually over things that pertain to this life, whether it's your body, property, honor. This whole life is not worth your anger or your excessive anger. So that is a way, that's a conceptual way of treating this inclination. And without these concepts and without these beliefs and convictions, you will not be able to treat it. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمْ فَلْيَقْعُدْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَضْطَجَعْ. If one of you gets angry while he is standing, let him sit down. And if it goes away, it's good. And if the anger does not go away, let him lay down. Well, whoever said that you will remember this hadith in the first place, or that you will be interested in following this hadith is addressing the people who will remember this hadith, or the people who are interested in following the Prophet ﷺ during their time of anger. How did they get there? They have to have these convictions and concepts established in their heart and mind in the first place. So you have to understand the value of this life and the worth of this life in the first place, so that you can counter anger and you can treat anger when it takes place. The other issue is the belief in predestination, and that is extremely essential in the treatment or prevention of anger, because you believe that everything is predestined. Whatever happens to you is predestined. So when your child spills water on the, not water, milk on the carpet, you're not going to be able to, sort of reverse what happened. It does not reverse. It happened. Done. So try to fix it. Don't get angry now, because this happened. Allah had predestined that this happens. So do not get angry now. And even if something bigger than this happens to you, you have to understand that it was going to happen. It was not, it was inevitable, unavoidable. So in this way, you can start to mild out your reactions, mild out your anger. So to know the worth of this life, to believe in predestination, and to really sort of embrace that belief or conviction of predestination are extremely important concepts that you have to have established in your mind and heart to be able to prevent yourself from getting angry. So that is, yeah, and there are other issues also, but we have to be a little, you know, concise and not very detailed. But what about the specific way of preventing anger? We said that this is the general approach. What about the specific approach of preventing anger? The Prophet ﷺ teaches us this approach. He says, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ وَمَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْخَيْرَ يَعْطَهُ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ الشَّرَّ يُوقَى. Most certainly becoming knowledgeable is by pursuing knowledge. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. You want علم, knowledge, تعلم. تعلم, seeking, pursuing knowledge. فَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ forbearance بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. Most certainly forbearance or attaining forbearance is by practicing forbearance. Tahallum here is not because you don't go and get some forbearance from people. You know, you go get ilm from people. You listen and you hear and you read, but you don't get it's practicing forbearance. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. And most certainly attaining forbearance is by practicing forbearance. وَمَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْخَيْرَ يَعْطَى وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ الشَّرَّ يُوقَهُ. And he who seeks good will be given what he sought, and he who tries to avoid evil will be spared what he tried to avoid. So, in this case, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the specific way to counter or to prevent anger, the specific approach, targeted approach, you know, to prevent anger, is the practice of forbearance. Is the practice of forbearance, and you will become a forbearing person if you practice it. What does that mean? It means that, you know, don't wait until something major happens and then test yourself. See if you're going to be forbearing or not. Be forbearing in every single thing that happens to you during the day. I mean, if you trip over a piece of rock, show forbearance. Don't say, oh, say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And if you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you'll be rewarded. So if you think that, you know, just tripping over like a rock will make you angry and upset, and why did this have to happen to me, and I got my clothes dirty now, and how am I going to go to work? If this is going to aggravate you this much, do not expect that when there is like a firestorm in your home with, you know, between you and your wife, or between you and your father, your brother, your mother, your kid, and so on, that you will be, you know, calm and forbearing. No, you're not. You have not practiced it. You know, so that is the targeted way or the targeted approach to becoming a forbearing person. You continue to acquire more forbearance in increments, and that happens by practice. And you practice on the smaller things first, and then the bigger things. So it's a lifetime struggle. You know, it's not something that you will attain and then you give up, you know, pursuing it. It's you continue for the rest of your life to pursue forbearance and to teach yourself to become more forbearing in every incident that happens to you. So this is the preventive or preventative approach. One is general, about, you know, it's about concepts, it's about what's this life worth, it's about believing predestination. One is targeted, it's about practicing forbearance until you become a forbearing person. Now, you're angry now. How do you treat it? How do you handle it? You handle it in so many different ways. The Prophet ﷺ taught us many ways to handle anger when it actually takes place. Not that you're preventing it now, but it actually is here. He said in one hadith, مَنْ غَضِبَ هُوَ قَائِمْ فَلْيَقْعُدْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَضْطَجِعْ. If someone becomes angry when he is standing, let him sit down. And if it does not go away, his anger does not go away, let him lay down. What does that mean? It means that when you're angry, you should probably be the farthest thing from action. Action. Because when you sit down, you're less likely to act, to react. Because that reaction will be a provoked reaction, will be uncalculated reaction, will be unwise reaction, in other words. Because it's uncalculated, it's not thought out well. You didn't have time. You're angry now. So you didn't have time to, you know, calculate how much you should react and in which way you should react, which direction should you channel this anger. Inshallah, after we come from the prayer, we will talk about this because this is extremely important. The channeling of anger. Because anger, it's like a train. You don't always have to stop it. But sometimes you can steer it and use it. Because it's a very valuable inclination sometimes. And we did talk about moderation and excessiveness and lack of anger before, but we will talk, inshallah, about the steering and redirecting this anger. So, in this case, try to, you know, restrain from action. In some other reports of the Prophet ﷺ, even went as far as saying, فَلْيُلْسِقْ خَدَّهُ بِالْأَرْضِ. So let him touch the ground with his cheek. So be the farthest thing from action. I mean, let your cheek touch the ground so that you are not going to react in impulsive ways. Then the Prophet ﷺ teaches us another treatment, modality, when it comes to the actual tackling of anger that already took place. He says that anger is from fire. And shaitan is from fire. Anger is from the shaitan, and shaitan is from fire. And وَالْمَاءُ تُطْفِئُ النَّارِ وَالْنَّارُ تُطْفَئُ بِالْمَاءِ. That الْغَضَبُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that anger is from the devil, and the devil is from fire, and the fire is extinguished by water. So when you get angry, تَوَضَّ, make wudu when you get angry. And that works for the people who cannot restrain themselves by sitting down. The people who still have, you know, when you're angry, you're flushed, you're hot, right? You're flushed and you're hot. Water does have an effect. It does cool you down. It physically cools you down, and it cools down your anger as well. At least the time that you will take to make wudu will give you a chance to think out your response or your reaction. But besides this, the wudu itself will bring down this fire inside you. And the wudu is an act of worship. And when you're doing it, you're doing it for Allah. So you remind yourself of Allah. You remind yourself that Allah is more capable more capable over you than you are over this person that you're angry with. So I should not transgress. I should not exceed my limits. I should not do wrong by this person who, you know, aggravated me. So that is another way you can treat this anger. So one is by sitting down or laying down or touching the ground with your cheek. The other one is by making wudu. There are other ways also that Imam Qudama here mentions with regard to tackling the anger once you have it. He says first he should get himself well acquainted with the virtues of forgiveness, forbearance, endurance, and restraining anger. Bukhari reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas that a man asked for permission to meet Umar. And he was given a permission to meet Umar. So when he met Umar ibn Khattab, he said to him, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُعْطِينَا بِالْجَزْلِ وَلَا تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَنَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Well, oh, by Allah, you do not give us enough, and you do not judge between us with justice. And if someone tells Omar, you do not judge between us with justice, when he is the icon of justice and fairness, then it's very aggravating. So, the Omar ibn Khattab was about to punish the man, and al-Hurr ibn al-Qais was sitting with Omar ibn Khattab, and he said to Omar ibn Khattab, يا أمير المؤمنين إن الله عز وجل قد قال لرسوله خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. Let's see how they translated this. He said, Prince of the Believers, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said to the Messenger or to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, hold to forgiveness, command what is right, but turn away from the ignorant. Hold to forgiveness. So, you know, be forgiving. Or hold to forgiveness. Or accept the apology. In other words. Or including acceptance of apology. So hold to forgiveness. Forgive people and accept their apologies. وَأْمُرْ خُذَ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ Command that which is good. عُرْف is good in general. وَأَعْرَضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ and turn away from those who are ignorant. خُذَ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرَضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ So Umar ibn Khattab immediately withheld himself and stopped from proceeding with punishing that person. So you remind yourself of ayat and a hadith such as this one. Second, he should frighten himself with the punishment of Allah the Almighty by saying to himself, Allah's might over me is much greater than my might over that person. And we did mention this. Third, he should warn himself against the consequences of enmity and revenge. The consequences of enmity and revenge. He says that even if at least you should remind yourself that enmity, animosity between you and others, and revenge will bring about animosity. You know, because that person is not completely helpless. That person also can show animosity to you. And that vicious cycle will bring you no good. That vicious cycle of animosity, reciprocal animosity, will bring you no good. In this case, if you restrain yourself out of fear of the consequences of your anger, you will not be rewarded. Because this is fear from the consequences in this life. This is fear from the reaction of the person in front of you. Not fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But is it good? It is good. At least it spared you from sin or transgression or some form of wrongdoing. Even if it was not for Allah, but it is still good because it prevented you from transgression. InshaAllah, we will finish the rest after the prayer.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala rasulillah. InshaAllah we will finish or talk about the treatment of anger, and now we are talking about the specific treatment of anger after it takes place, which is not the prevention, the treatment itself. And we talked about the change of position, and we talked about the making of wudu, and we talked about some of the points that Imam Ibn Qudama here addressed. The next point that he addresses is the Muslim should meditate how ugly his image seems when he's angry, and that he should not lead himself to such a terrible image. And that is true, and that's something that even people treat. And you know, if you have a tic disorder, you know, people have tics, like if you have a tic disorder, one of the therapies is to stand in front of the mirror and to repeat the tic consciously, because the tic disorders usually come from the subconscious mind and you usually have no control over them. So you do not think, you know, every time that you're doing this, you do not think of it. It just happens. So if you have a tic disorder, sometimes, and I do to recommend this for some of my patients, is to stand in front of the mirror and do this in front of the mirror, and keep on doing it. What it does is, first of all, that it makes you resent that disorder. It makes you dislike how you look when you have the tick.
The second is it brings the tick from the subconscious, from the control of the subconscious mind to the conscious mind. So the person who gets angry, what he needs to do is to look in the mirror. He's not going to be able to look in the mirror when he's angry, because he's not going to take the time to look in the mirror. So what is his mirror? Other people when they're angry. If he looks at other people when they're angry and sees how they look ugly, then that's his mirror. And then he should try to avoid doing the same thing or the same behavior. The next one that he addresses here is that he should think over the cause that invites him to take revenge. For example, if the devil or Satan or Shaitan comes and tells you you should not stand still after hearing such humiliating words, otherwise you'll become indignified in the sight of people, he should counter this by saying, being indignified in the sight of people is much better than being indignified in the sight of God. So you should not let the Shaitan trick you. And you should always seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Shaitan. So knowing that the Shaitan is the one who brings about this anger to you, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعَذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And whenever the whispers of the Shaitan divert you away from Allah, or sort of يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ, sort of you're being snatched away from the path of Allah, you're being taken away, diverted away from the path of Allah by the whispers of the Shaitan, فَاسْتَعَذْ بِاللَّهِ, seek refuge in Allah. Try to hold on to your fortress, or try to stay within your fortress, which is the protection of Allah, the guidance of Allah. So you say to Allah, do not let the Shaitan take me away. Do not let him divert me. Do not let him snatch me out of my fortress. And you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Or أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. Because Allah said, فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فاستعذ بالله كما ينزغنك من الشيطان الرجيم. فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم. If the whispers of the Shaitan divert you away from Allah, seek refuge in Allah, for He is السميع, the all-hearing, العليم, the all-knowing. So you say, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. Or you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You say, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. Or you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The Prophet ﷺ saw two men arguing with each other until one of them got angry. And he said, I know something that if this man said, this will go away. This anger will go away. And then he told them about الاستعاذة, and يستعيذ بالله, to seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan al-Rajim, or the accursed Satan or devil. So أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أعوذ بالله السميع من الشيطان الرجيم is another one of those tools that will help you counter the whispers of the Shaitan during this time. Now, he mentions some reports about the forbearance of the Sahaba, and certainly these examples are important for us to learn. He says that once a slave of Abu Dharr came to him with a sheep whose leg had been broken, and Abu Dharr asked that slave, who broke the sheep? Who broke the leg of the sheep? And the boy, he said, I broke the leg of the sheep to aggravate you. That slave said that. So he said, I will aggravate the one who led you to aggravate me. Go, you are free. So the Shaitan is the one that Abu Dharr was thinking about. The Shaitan urged this boy to break the leg of the sheep, to aggravate Abu Dharr, and to make Abu Dharr do something that is beneath him as one of the greatest companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So Abu Dharr was smarter than the Shaitan, and he said, I will aggravate the one who urged you to aggravate me. And he set him free. One night, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz entered the mosque, and he tripped over someone in the mosque. And that person said to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, "Amajnoonun ant?" He was at the time the Khalifa. You know, the Khalifa of the Muslimin at the time controlled somewhere between China and Andalusia. During the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was the Khalifa. That means what? It means he controlled all the way from Andalusia, Spain, to China. You know, that was the Khalifa during that time. So that the man who was in control of this piece of land from Andalusia and Morocco in the west to China in the east, he tripped over this man, and the man, you know, said to him, "Amajnoonun ant? Are you crazy? Are you insane?" So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said to him, "No, la." And he continued, he proceeded, he walked away. So the guards in the masjid came to sort of reprimand the man or to punish them, do whatever to the man. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz prevented them, and he said to them, "The man just asked me a question, and I answered him." لَقَدْ سَأَلَنِي وَأَجَبْتُ. He asked me a question and I answered him. That's it, it's a done deal. There's another story. A man said evil words about Ali ibn al-Husayn. So his slaves were enraged, but he told them to calm down and said to the man, what you don't know about us is much worse than what you have just said. Do you have any need that we can fulfill for you?" The man felt ashamed and said nothing, so Ali ibn Abi Talib gave him a garment that he himself was wearing, and he ordered his slaves to give him 1,000 dirhams. After that, the man used to say, "I testify that you are a descendant of the messenger." So these examples, I think that they just highlight how people can control themselves. And I think we'll just stop here. The redirection of anger is something important. I guess I'll just mention it in a couple of minutes. To redirect your anger. Because, like I said, anger is not always as a quality, as an inclination that Allah created in us. It is not always condemnable. Sometimes it's commendable to have anger. And we did talk about examples about this before. But the issue here is to restrain it when you're angry and to know how to channel it in the right direction. You see, the Incas, and we were just talking about the Incas and Aztecs before we came up here. The Aztecs in Mexico in the year 1500, their number was about 25 million people. In 1600, the Aztecs were 1 million individuals. 1 million. So they dropped from 25 million to 1 million in 100 years. Usually people, the population increases, it doesn't drop. But because of the harsh treatment of the Spanish conquerors and diseases and so on that they brought from Europe, which they have no immunity, or against which they had no immunity, they dropped, but they were using them for hard labor to mine for gold and silver. And that harsh treatment resulted in the demise of this nation and sort of vanished. You know, a nation of people vanished. So you wonder, you ask yourself, why did you not get angry? I mean, at least get angry. You're being abused, and this abuse is transgression, it's wrongdoing, it's evil, it's something that you should revolt, you should rebel against this abuse and transgression. Why did you not get angry? So, to have complete lack of anger is also not commendable. This is not righteous, it's not noble, it's not the characteristic of noble people. To have complete lack of anger. We said before that Aisha said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "ما خير رسول الله بين أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما وما انتقم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لنفسه قط ولكن إذا انتهكت حرمة الله فينتقم لله." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not given a choice between two options except that he chose the easier. Unless it was evil, in some report, unless it was evil or ifn, then he would be the farthest away from it. And the Prophet never revenged or against himself, but whenever the sacred rituals of Allah or symbols of Allah were violated, he would take revenge for Allah, for Allah. So to stop transgression, to stop oppression, that is taking revenge for Allah. That is taking revenge for Allah. So, you know, the people who think that the Palestinians will vanish, like the Indian, the Aztecs and Incas will vanish, they will not vanish, because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get angry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are deeply rooted. Besides, the Palestinians are deeply rooted throughout the Muslim world, because they are part of a much bigger body. So you cannot just eliminate them, excise them off the map, and think that they are gone. They are part of like a much bigger body. But at any rate, they will have anger. They will stop the transgression, because if you believe in Allah, you will have anger at least for Allah, at least for justice. At least you stand up for justice. You see, the Incas, when this may be a little bit branching off, but the Incas, the reason why they were subdued in this way is that they believed in the man god. They believed in the man god. So when their chief, and I don't know how to pronounce his name, Haptuala, I guess, when the chief was captured by a Spanish general, they thought that, you know, if the chief who is God, the chief to them was God. So if the chief who was God was captured by this Spanish general, then that Spanish general must be a stronger God. With such certainly the entire nation submitted to the Spanish because of this. So such mentality is the mentality that you need to subdue a nation. But for a nation like, you know, the Palestinians or any other, like the Chechnyans, etc., any nation that believes in God, does not believe in man God, they will continue to resist oppression and fight for justice and struggle for justice until their objectives are attained. So, but for us now, if we do not live in one of these places where the land is occupied, we live far away, how do we get angry? And we should never stop getting angry. And you need a dose of anger pretty much on a regular basis, so that you stay in touch with the reality and you do not get consumed in your frivolous life. You know, you do not get consumed in, you know, your Lexus or your house or your gardening and stuff like that. So in order for you to stay in touch with the reality, you have to get a dose of anger on a regular basis. And I do get myself a dose of anger on a regular basis, almost routinely. I watch CNN or read CNN online. So then the issue afterwards is how to channel this anger, how to direct this anger. To direct this anger by coming here and talking, you know, studying Islam. Because you need to raise the awareness of the ummah about the religion. You need the ummah to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to bring away the people who went astray, the children. I mean, if you work in the building blocks, and if you go out to the children at that park and talk to people who are drug addicts, or talk to people who have sort of abandoned Islam to some extent, or talk to other people as well, that is channeling the anger in the right direction, because we cannot just be reactionary. You know, the reptile brains, they cannot plan. Usually, reptile brains are very rudimentary, very primitive brains. They don't plan. So we should not have reptile brains and react to everything and be reactionary. We should have plans. And the plan is, in fact, to bring this ummah back to back to the religion, and to sort of work for the renaissance of the ummah through the religion, because this ummah has never seen a renaissance far from the religion of Islam. So to bring the renaissance to this ummah through the religion, and to help the renaissance in every aspect. You know, if you study very well, if you study your physics and chemistry, or your medicine or engineering, etc. And with this intention, you truly want to benefit the Ummah and serve the Ummah. That is the way, that's the good way to channel your anger. So when you get angry, do not suppress it. Do not suppress it. But suppress the reactionary response, the impulsive reaction. Suppress that one. That does not help. I'm not particularly against protesting and going out, you know, in demonstrations in the street and so on and so forth. But this may be actually a way to consume your anger, or to sort of divert your anger away from the right direction. Because people go out to those protests and they come back home and they're quite happy because they have done their part, they have done their job. I mean, you're protesting the siege, for instance, against the Palestinians. But have you collected any money? Or have you tried your best within the legal bounds? And I do know that you should not trespass the legal bounds and so on to protect yourself, protect the community and so on. But there are many ways to help. You know, if you truly feel for the people in Kashmir, for instance, and you live here, and certain organization is considered terroristic or terrorist organization, whoever said that you need to help this organization? Whoever said that the people of Kashmir are just this one organization? Whoever said that the people of Kashmir are not suffering from, illiteracy? Whoever said that the people of Kashmir are not suffering from hunger? Whoever said that they are not suffering from lack of water resources, lack of, books for the kids, lack of laptops, you know, we want them to rise. So whoever said that you cannot collect money and buy laptops and go donate them for the children of Kashmir? And whoever said that if you donate to like a particular organization, your work is not acceptable. So, again, do not kill your anger. You need your anger, but know how to channel it in the right direction without causing yourself harm, without causing your community harm. You have to be smart and know how to direct this anger. You know, like, even if laptops will be a problem, you know, there are people in every place where Muslims are suffering from some form or the other of oppression. And all of these cases are just cases. So what you need to do in this case is to be smart. Milk and dates. I guess that's a great idea. That you're getting angry because you're seeing the children suffering. Why don't you collect money and as an organization, you know, as an organization, and take milk and dates to those suffering kids? They are hungry. The fact that their land is occupied does not negate the fact that they are hungry. So it's not that you need only to help them free their land, but you need to also feed them. You need to help them, counter this hunger. That's it. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Shalom, and Astaghfirullah.